Thought Bubble Audio.
Look, up in the sky!
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Welcome to Beer with Geeks with Tim and Frank.
Who are you?
I'm Batman.
I am Iron Man.
Your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
Hi, Christopher. I'm Nero.
My name is Inigo Montoya.
You're a wizard, Harry.
A couple of guys with a couple of beers and a whole lot of pop culture nostalgia.
Make it so, number one.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles.
Name the dog in the ant.
Life finds a way.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Now sit back and crack open a cold one. Because it's time for Beer with Geeks.
It comes in pints?
Shaken, not stirred.
Great Scott!
I was way off. I knew it started with an S, though.
Hi, and welcome to Beer with Geeks, where two geeks geek out with beer. I'm Tim, and with me, as always, is my fourth wall breaking friend, Frank. How are you today?
See, he just said fourth wall breaking friend, but what he has no idea is that I'm about to turn into a guy who is, I have a mouth.
All right, I never said you were going to break the fourth wall. I was just pointing out that it happens. Who are you talking to?
Don't worry about it. It's fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, cool.
What are you drinking?
I'm drinking Sam Adams Scotch Ale. Says, this is a brew for adventurous ale drinkers, an ale with four special malts, including a rare peat smoked malt used in Scotch whiskies. This, turn the bottle. Unique malt gives Scotch Ale a subtle smoky flavor and deep amber hue. This is a big malty brew with a long, smooth finish. Cheers. Actually, hey, that's our line. I haven't actually tried this yet. What are you drinking?
Ooh, I'm drinking Sam Adams limited release Escape Route. And this is a German Kolsch style ale, unfiltered. It's that style from Cologne, Germany, it says here.
Why do you think it's called Escape Route?
You know, that's a very good question.
Are there
question.
People escaping from Germany on the bottle?
Because it's a refreshing brew
we
to help...
pretzels, let's get out of here!
Ah, get away!
I don't know.
Now, they say it's a light, refreshing brew to help escape those lingering cold days.
That makes sense. Yeah. Okay, well, what does yours taste like?
Mine, here, cheers to you.
Cheers, thank you.
And the episode's over. That's
nope. We make that joke too much, I think.
That's only the second time I made that joke.
No, I was pretty sure it's not, but it's okay. Maybe it was recently.
Okay. It's a light, kind of malty, not hoppy, but a more malty, grainy type, much like a wheat beer. It has a taste much like a wheat beer without, it's not so citrusy.
Okay.
How about yours? I don't know. Does it taste like scotch?
No, it does not taste like scotch.
Mm.
It's got a bit of a malty, almost like a stout.
Okay.
Heaviness to it.
Okay.
Do that again. There's definitely a smoky hue.
Smoke. Okay. Yeah, makes sense.
It's good. I like it. It's definitely not one that you can drink a lot of.
Yeah. Okay. So it's a slow drinker.
It is absolutely a slow drinking beer.
Okay.
So slow, I may be drinking it next week. So, yeah. But it is.
Tune in next week to find out.
But it is delicious.
Well, I don't know about next week, but last week we got to see a movie together.
We did.
And it was a very enjoyable movie. It's a comic book movie.
It was.
But it was not a kid's movie.
Fantastic Four.
That is Fant-four-stick.
No. No, that wasn't it,
no.
Right?
No, it wasn't. But see, whereas Fantastic Four made me curse at the movie, this movie cursed at me instead.
Ah.
Yeah.
It broke the fourth wall,
yeah,
if you will. Yeah.
It did.
Actually, we saw Deadpool.
He didn't.
No,
surprise. If you didn't read the episode description.
I don't know why we bury the lead. What's the point? But they don't swear. He doesn't swear at the audience.
No, I guess that's true.
Yeah.
I guess that's true.
Yeah, so my joke was meaningless. Yeah.
I just meant more that, like, whereas this one they're swearing in it, and that one I was swearing at it.
Right. All right, so Deadpool has done very well for itself at the box office. Yeah.
It broke records for an R-rated movie.
It is the highest grossing R-rated movie of all time, actually. It is the seventh highest rated comic book movie.
Actually, seventh? Wow.
It beat out, it is the highest opening X-Men movie.
Interesting.
Over the Wolverine. It actually, its weekend total is bigger than the total box office take domestically for the Wolverine.
You're kidding.
Yeah.
Well, the Wolverine had was it the Wolverine?
No, not Wolverine Origins. The Wolverine. You're right. Okay. The Japanese.
Yes.
The Japanese one.
Yes. Because I was going to, yeah, you know exactly where I was going with Wolverine Origins.
Yes.
X-Men Origins Wolverine.
Yes, I did. It's very, it's been doing very well for itself. It's made I'm not looking at it on my phone. I'm not going to look it up.
I saw 150.
Yeah, I think they projected 130, and I think it landed at 150 something, which is huge.
Very impressive.
Even for an R-rated movie, impressive for 4 days.
Yeah.
Right, because it came over President's Day weekend.
Right, so Friday through Monday.
Right. Yeah. Thursday night.
You're right. Yeah, Thursday night. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's like 4.5 days. Still, it's extremely impressive.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there are definitely a lot of theaters letting kids into this movie.
For sure.
Although they're not really the market. Kids under 18 aren't the market. 18 to 49 is really your movie-going crowd.
Yeah, but they're not going to refuse $12 from a 16-year-old.
No, probably not.
You know?
No, one that, you know, looks 17, you know?
Sure. There's definitely a lot of people just turn a blind eye and letting that happen because money.
Right. Do you think that this movie deserves that credit? We're seeing a lot of, you know, it's changed the game. Superhero movies forever are different and stuff like that. Do you think this movie deserves all of that?
I think that it shouldn't be a big surprise to anyone. But that's coming from me who has minimal but some exposure to Deadpool already. I knew what to expect. It's like, oh, it's like almost like Spider-Man, but with cursing. You know, like he's got the quips. He's got he's not afraid. There's a lot of similarities to Deadpool in costume to Spider-Man in costume. So I kind of knew what to like. I know the kind of humor and that kind of thing. But someone who doesn't know, to like sort of the mainstream audience, maybe it's a surprise. It changed the game. I think we're going to see a lot more of this now. I think people are going to chase the profits and see, like, this did well.
Yeah. They're probably going to take the wrong lesson from this movie.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. I think they're going to think they need to go more and more hard R.
Yeah, but that's not what this...
No, it's not what it's about.
It's not about the R. It's not about the fourth wall breaking. It's just do justice by the character that you have chosen to bring to the screen.
That is right.
That's
the lesson. This character is this way.
Right. If you make a good movie, people will go see your good movie.
That's the lesson.
Yeah, generally speaking. There are exceptions to that rule.
Yeah.
Like Edge of Tomorrow with Tom Cruise and Emily Blunt was an excellent movie that nobody saw.
Because it was marketed terribly.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. This movie was not. It was marketed brilliantly.
Brilliantly. I think that is a big thing to take away from this film, too, is that don't be afraid of, like, trust in the character, trust in the director, trust in the story you're telling. If you don't trust in those things, you probably shouldn't be making that movie.
Right. This movie has it's a very basic story. You know, it's a simple revenge tale, you know, a little bit of a love story. And the really two things differentiate it from other things. One is Deadpool, the character.
Yes.
And the other is a little bit in the non-linear storytelling way. You start with the big action piece and you flashback, and then you do a little bit more on the bridge, and then you flashback and you do a little bit more and a little bit more. Did that work for you?
Yeah, actually, more than it normally does. I usually don't really care for that type of storytelling.
Right.
I tend to, a lot of times when you have flashbacks, they don't commit to that too much. Like, they'll do a couple, it's mostly linear, usually, except for a few flashbacks, but they pretty much committed to it until like the third act.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
The first and second acts were pretty much back and forth. And it can be disorienting at times, but they did a good job with it I knew what timeline we were in.
I think there's a tonal shift between, you know, pre-Deadpool and post-Deadpool, you know, before he gets the powers and after he gets the powers, because he doesn't break the fourth wall until he goes through the treatment.
That's right.
There are some jokes, I think, like he makes the super suit in green joke and stuff like that.
Yeah,
the
Green Lantern
joke, but it's just the movie. Maybe he saw something, or maybe Green Lantern exists in his universe or something like that. But only until he goes through the process. Does he break the fourth wall? I don't think the movie did a great job at the differentiating that psychosis, or you know what I mean? Like what made him snap or not snap. Because there are times like when he's not in costume after the treatment that he's basically exactly the same as he was before, except that he looks different. Like when he's talking to Weasel, when he's talking to TJ Miller in the bar, he's not doing anything different than what he would normally do otherwise. And it's only in the costume does he act differently, and it feels it doesn't match up. Yeah,
you're doing this
taffy stretch thing.
Yeah, I was like silly putty stretching in my hands.
It doesn't match up as my fingers move away from
it doesn't matter. Okay.
Yeah. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. Okay. Fair.
Yeah. That I think was maybe my biggest thing with the movie. It just that part, like it was either like commit or don't commit.
Okay.
You know, like commit to him being bonkers after the treatment with Ajax or don't. You know what I mean? It was weird that he did when he was in costume and he didn't when he was out of costume, but there's really no reason otherwise, you know?
Interesting.
Though he did break the fourth wall. He hit, you know, the 16 times wall break, you know, a wall break inside of a wall break. That's like 16 walls.
Wall breaks. Yeah.
Yeah. That's the only time, I think. And that I thought was a weird misstep.
Yeah.
My headphones. Yeah. I'm good.
Okay.
Now.
Okay, that's a good point. That definitely is something that could have been more consistent. But that I was willing to forgive that because that's pretty common.
Awesome.
Well, yeah. And because it's a common way of doing things when you're doing a wall-breaking type character.
Right.
Right, is that they do it kind of selectively or at select times. And they don't do it in their everyday conversations. It's usually like during the big fight or when they're confronting the bad guy or whatever, but not when they're, you know, at the bank or like whatever.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
So, or at the bar as it were. What did you think of the cast?
Cast was really strong. Across the board. I didn't watch anybody and go, you don't belong in this movie or you're not playing it right or anything like that. I think that maybe characters were more fleshed out than others. Like I thought Ajax was, you were a British villain and you did what you were supposed to do. And you'll go down in the book of non-memorable supervillains in a comic book movie, generally speaking.
Yeah.
But that's fine because the movie's not about him. I didn't need to care about him. He fulfilled the function that he needed to fulfill and we moved on from him. You know, it's the... This film will not be criticized the way that Tim Burton's Batman movies are, where it's like, oh, this movie's about Batman. No, but it's actually about the Joker. It's actually about Penguin and Catwoman or Max Shrek or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, we've gone away from that movement. Because if a character was, because Ajax plays it straight, right? Ed Skrein plays it straight. So, and Deadpool is so bonkers that you need a villain, you need everybody else around him to be kind of, you need everybody else around him to be straightforward because he's too out there to have anybody try to match that. It would come off weird. But I thought Ryan Reynolds did a great job. Like a lot of people have said, you know, born to play the character and everything like that. And even in X-Men Origins Wolverine, which is a terrible film riddled by writer's strike. So it's like a weird illness.
Yeah.
Of the writer's strike.
It suffers from writer's strike.
He suffers from writer's strike. But those 10 minutes or 5 minutes, whenever he's on screen, like he got it, you know. So, and he continues to get it. I think under a lesser person, the movie would have fallen apart.
Yeah, I totally agree with that.
Yeah, he sells it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And the born to play the role is definitely, there's definitely something to that. He is really, really good for it. Yeah, he does an excellent job. I loved his performance. It is always hard to believably be one superhero and then be another and not have that kind of be in someone's mind.
Did it enter your mind at all?
Well, normally it would, but here it didn't because, I mean, except for when they reminded us twice.
Right.
But
yeah.
Other than that, like, it really didn't. And I mean, maybe that's because I've only seen Green Lantern like two or three times and it wasn't very good. And I want to forget it.
He's not the problem in that movie.
That's true.
Nor is he the problem in X-Men's X-Men Origins Wolverine. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I think that's those are the two ticks in his favor. He's not the problem. Every time it's the story, it's never him.
I agree.
No, he didn't make it fall apart. You know, you do your best with what you're given. What about Vanessa? You're a big Miranda Baccarin fan.
I love Miranda Baccarin. Yeah. And I mean, she didn't have a whole lot to do in terms of acting in this film. I would say, like, she had a short part of the film, like basically the falling in love sequence, right?
But she is the MacGuffin, really.
She is, yes. Yeah. Yes, she is kind of what moves everything
forward
and makes it come to the climax.
Yeah.
In that sense, you're absolutely right. But that's unfortunately not... she wasn't given the opportunity to have that be a product of her acting.
Right.
It was more her existence.
Yes.
You know, like... So I wish she was given more to do because I think she's a phenomenal actress.
Mm-hmm.
So I would have loved to see her be able to do some more real acting, some real tough acting and some really good stuff. But I thought she did a marvelous job with what she was given, and she's always a pleasure to watch. So
yeah. I agree. She is a comic character.
Yes.
She is Copycat traditionally, who is a teen, who is actually usually a teenager or thereabouts, and Blue. And she's a shapeshifter.
Mm-hmm.
And so first appearing technically in New Mutants 98 with Deadpool.
Okay.
But she was Domino, pretending to be Domino at the time.
Okay.
So it's very mixy-mixy.
I see. Yeah.
But I did like that not everybody in the movie was a mutant. Like, you know, like all magically she's a mutant and they're a mutant and everybody's a mutant.
That's one of the things about X-Men that often kind of loses me is I'm just sort of like, all right, I get it. Everyone's a mutant. And okay, fine.
Right.
I get it. Everybody. Yep. Absolutely everybody.
So do you feel the same way when you read the Justice League and you're like, okay, I get everybody's a superhero?
No, because they're not all... you can be a superhero without being, like, an alien. Like, if they were all aliens or if they were all... Like, if they're all one
if
thing...
If they were, like, a team of aliens, you'd be like, yeah, I get it. You're all aliens.
Whatever. That's kind of like Legion of Superheroes. I'm a little bit like, all right, you're all from the future and you have these names like Lass and Lad. Like,
yeah, that's true. Although the X-Men generally don't have Lass and Lad.
They don't, but I'm saying they all have one thing in common.
They have one thing.
Yeah.
So that thing that... You know, like you're all mutants.
Right.
And so it loses some dramatic edge at that point to you.
It's just less interesting to me because it's just sort of like, they seem like carbon copies of each other at a certain point where, like, the Avengers or Justice League, you've got Superman's an alien, Wonder Woman's a god, Batman's just a guy, you know, Cyborg is a robot. Like, you've got some differences there. So.
Right. But it's not really the topic of the conversation, but even though they're all mutants, they all have different powers. So.
Yeah. But when you, so like the main X-Men are interesting to me,
right?
But all the ancillary, characters are sort of like, they're just all kind of this generic teenager with this power, and like they all have similar stories, and like,
yeah, that I can understand that.
Yeah.
That,
the main X-Men, like Cyborg, like, you know,
I do feel you on that.
Yeah.
I don't disagree with you either. I think that might come from, you know, like, you like the ones that you learned about first kind of thing.
Yeah, that could,
you know,
that could very well be true.
That's a huge thing with
me. That is
a
big
thing. If I didn't like new characters, you know,
yeah,
it takes a lot.
Like, all right, prove it to me that you're interested.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Do
something different. And
right.
If you don't do anything different, you're like, well, I've seen you in something else before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, what can you do that Cyclops can't do? Like, I would rather just read a Cyclops story then.
Right, exactly. Oh, you also shoot laser beams out of your eyes?
Oh, that's nice.
That's fantastic. Optic glass.
Cool.
I don't want to get letters.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Optic blast him.
Yeah, I got it. I know what they're called. But so that's, yeah, totally. I get it. Now, I like the X-Men more than you. So I was super pumped to see Colossus done right on the big screen.
That was cool. I enjoyed that. I've only ever read a few stories involving him, but that was cool to see.
Yeah, Colossus is in my top five favorite X-Men.
Okay.
And not that Daniel Cudmore did a bad job, don't get me wrong, in the other X-Men movies, but it just wasn't really Colossus to me. He wasn't that big. His metal skin didn't really look like Colossus. He wasn't Russian, which I always thought was just weird. You know, like, why you gotta make them all American or Canadian? What's the point?
Yeah.
Like, the part of the fun of the X-Men is that it's so diverse, that they're from all over the world. And so if you all make them from the same, like they're all from New York, then yeah. it's not as interesting, you know? So I really enjoyed Colossus in this film. He played a really good straight man.
Yes. Yeah.
To Deadpool's wackiness.
Yes, totally.
Yeah. And then Negasonic Teenage Warhead, who's a Grant Morrison creation, only in one issue of the comic. She is actually deceased in the comics, okay. I believe. And her powers in the movie are not really even her powers in the comic. They were just kind of like, you know, here's this, you know, like, we need X-Men. So, like, let's run down the list. And Fox, a lot of times, like, no, can't use them. Too expensive. Can't use it. And they were like, fine. Negasonic Teenage Warhead. And they were like, what? And you're like, exactly. They're like, fine, whatever. No, Bryan Singer's not going to use her anytime soon. So.
Really big house for only two of you. It's almost like you couldn't afford to have more of them in the movie.
That was a great line. Apparently, I listened to Ryan Reynolds speak, and he was talking about that line. And he said that on the day when a producer showed up.
Oh, wow.
Like the one that was like, no, you can't, like, too expensive, do this, whatever. Oh. And so he said it. Basically to make that guy laugh because he knew he'd appreciate it, and it somehow ended up in the movie.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, which is awesome. I would really like to know how much of this movie is improv versus how much of it is in the script.
Yeah, true.
Would like to see the original script.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man. And there were even like things that were improv and other things. One thing I do want to say is Negasonic Teenage Warhead is such a Grant Morrison name for a character.
It actually comes from a death metal band, I think.
Oh,
actually.
Really?
I think it's a song or it's a line from a song, something like that. Yeah.
Interesting, because that was like Most Excellent, Super Bad, like all these like...
Yeah, it's not actually his. Yeah.
Okay, because it sounds like something he would have made up.
Yeah, I agree. Wow, I agree, but he pulled it from something. Yeah.
I stand corrected.
Cool, though, right?
It's so over the top. That's why. Yeah, because he does that like on purpose. Like that's his sense of humor, is like these things that are ridiculously comic book mm-hmm. in their ridiculous comic bookness.
Yeah.
There were so many gags and fun things like for the audience. I mean, the opening sequence alone, I would call it an opening credit sequence, but there was nothing credit about it. Just like, you know, produced by asshats. Like,
that was
like that.
My favorite. That one was my favorite because there's a guy I work with who says asshats all the time.
That's great.
I saw it on screen. I was like, this movie was made for him.
Oh, yeah. That's great. Written by the real heroes.
The real heroes here, you know, starring a British guy, a CG character, you know.
Yeah, I was like, CG character? Wait, which CG character? Like, Deadpool's on CG. And then as soon as
Colossus
was like, oh, there's our CG
there's
character.
A CG character right there.
A hot chick.
We cannot allow this Deadpool. You know, yes. Yeah. It's my Russian accent, my Colossus accent.
Not bad.
Did you eat breakfast this morning? Protein bar. Good for bones. You know. Yeah. Is that the Deadpool? Yeah, it's very good. did you have a joke that stood out to you particularly?
Oh, man. There were so many that I'm struggling to remember some of them now.
Because I also put you on the spot.
Yeah, a little bit. But I mean, even so, there were so many. Do you have one that stood out to you?
There are a couple that I thought were pretty outstanding that are in my brain still. Yeah. If you'd like me to run through mine.
Please do.
I loved when he's leaving Blind Al and he's like, oh, by the way, there's a bunch of cocaine hidden next to the cure for the blindness somewhere in the...
That was so mean,
so good. I loved that. Same scene, actually. I love TJ Miller's. I'd go with you, but I don't want to. I like that. I would have liked to have seen more of TJ Miller. I would have liked to have seen more of Weasel.
Yeah. What I enjoyed were all the... It seemed like there were a lot of comparisons between people... And like what their appearance looked like.
Yeah.
And someone always looked like they had sex with something else.
I agree.
That was always the joke.
That was.
And I started noticing that was the formula, but I was like, it's still really funny.
It still
works.
It's
like
good...
an avocado with an older, uglier avocado.
Yeah,
or whatever.
Right.
Like
somebody was saying that, I think it was Ryan Reynolds. He said that like to get swear something, you have to add adjectives and nouns to this other thing to flesh it out. That's how you make the formula work for that kind of joke. Yeah, so there is a system to it, which I think is interesting.
Yeah, and it was I was aware of it, but still thoroughly enjoying it.
Right. My favorite joke, though, on the whole, for whatever reason, stuck with me when Deadpool is trying to fight Colossus on the bridge. And, you know, like, and he like puts his hand behind and he touches him and he's like, Dad.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
And all that. So I loved that. And I loved, oh, he tried, he hits him in the crotch. He goes, oh, your poor wife. You know, all of that. So I loved when he like breaks the foot in his hands and he starts flopping around and he's like, the dinosaur's fear, the Tyrannosaurus. Yeah, that was my favorite. I thought that was so funny.
That was pretty good. That was very good.
Yeah. So unexpected, really more for him than for anybody else. You know, there was nothing.
Because it was like apropos of nothing, just totally unrelated to everything, but really.
Yeah.
Funny.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed pretty much anything with TJ Miller. Like the banter there was always great. But yeah, I really could have used more. Really could have used more TJ Miller. And I he's not necessarily my favorite comedic actor, but he was, I thought, like, this was a good role for him. A really good fit for him.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. What about Gina Carano? Did she do anything for you?
Yeah, I mean, what's not to like?
Big, strong, whatever. Yeah. Do you think our lines were dubbed over? Because apparently they dubbed her over for Haywire. Yeah, Haywire?
Really?
Haywire, yeah.
Oh, interesting.
I don't think she was in this movie, but I did notice there was a line after she's stitching up Ajax in the back.
Yeah.
And she says something out of focus while it's on her, and I don't think her mouth moved into me. I was like, that feels like you dubbed that line over.
I mean, they could have had her do ADR, like, to add a line in. Like,
that's true.
But whether she was dubbed over by another actress, that's interesting.
I'm not sure.
I you know, I've never seen her outside, like, I've never seen her, like, in an interview or anything to know what her voice really sounds like, so I wouldn't know. Right. I mean, I thought she was, the fight with Colossus was obviously, like, a highlight for me, for her.
Yes.
So, yeah. I thought she had, like, like, when he's telling her that she's exposed, she's like, aw, sweet, and she, like, trashes
him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I enjoyed all of that. We have not talked about the taxi driver.
Oh, man. One of my favorite characters in the whole movie.
Yeah. Yeah, no. I think
that was such a funny story.
I think he had two of the best scenes in the movie, and nobody's really talking about it the way that they should. You know, like, oh, Mr. Deadpool. Oh, you know.
Yeah.
You know,
Mr. Pool. And like, some of the funniest Deadpool scenes, too. Like, not just funniest scenes overall, but funniest scenes for that character.
I'm so proud of you. Kill him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do not do that.
Yeah. Kill him. So proud of you. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah. A crisp high five for you, 10. You know?
I know.
I think there was a lot of...
I knew that I was going to like this. I knew I liked this character when he wasn't mad the first time when he had no money. He was like, oh. Okay, and he just took the high five, and he still picks him up a second time, and he's like, fully knowing he's not going to get paid, and he's like, Chris, high five?
Yeah. He just liked his company.
He disliked him.
His emotive face. I thought the movie was smart to call attention to the fourth wall breaking right at the beginning, subtly.
You have
to. When he gets the gum stuck on the lens, and he pulls it off.
Oh, yeah.
I thought, like, it's almost a subconscious little, you know...
This is how it's going to be.
This is how it's going to play out. I enjoyed all that. Overall, I really did enjoy the movie. I think that it definitely had a couple of missteps in a few ways that we already talked about. But overall, it's a really enjoyable.
Oh yeah, it's so much fun.
Enjoyable experience.
It's one of those movies that I knew I was going to like it. I tried not to get too spoiled on it. Didn't read too much, about it.
I didn't either.
I saw the trailers as I saw them, but I didn't go out of my way. You know, not like I did with Star Wars, where, like, every time they were gonna, I watched Monday Night Football to see that trailer that time. You know, like, all these things to make sure I wanted to see everything as soon as it was available, and watch them over and over and over again. And this, I really didn't go out of my way. I just, like, as I see it, I'll watch it. You know, I don't need to be completely unaware of what's happening, but I want to enjoy this somewhat clean.
Did you notice that the jokes from the trailer kind of fell flat in the theater?
Yeah, I did. I did. Now, you saw it twice already, right? So,
yeah.
And did that happen both times you saw it?
Both times. Yeah, the jokes from the trailer fell flat in the movie.
Okay.
Not because they're not funny, but because people had seen them before.
Yeah.
And some of them, because the movie was... Like, there was a lot of interplay between characters and improv, I expected some of them to be different. Like, we talked about TJ Miller, like, what he calls Deadpool, like, when he sees his face, and, you know, oh, you like this, you taught this, and blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
But it was all the same. And I said, maybe that was maybe a misstep. Like, I'm sure there were definitely other takes that
you could
have used because you knew people would have seen these trailers.
Normally, I don't really enjoy it when I notice that they've changed. Like,
no,
it,
me
it
either.
It takes me out of the movie. Like,
too,
use a different take there.
Use a different scene. I usually have the same reaction, but this is one because, you know, these guys are so good at what they do, maybe it would have been better to show us different versions.
So you would rather have seen gotten new jokes and gotten to enjoy like sort of twice the jokes out of those, like from that same scene.
Yeah.
Rather than see the same joke again and not laugh.
Yeah,
as much.
Yeah.
Interesting. I don't know if I agree, but I do think that it shows that even though this is a rated R film and you know, people maybe are didn't know what to expect necessarily. Most of the people, at least in the showings we saw, were excited to see this movie and had seen the trailer.
I agree.
So they didn't laugh at those jokes as much because they'd heard them already. And that's kind of a rare thing to me. I feel like usually like those things still get a decent laugh.
Yeah,
they're being
I
shown
agree.
In the trailer because someone thinks they're the funniest, some of the funniest jokes, right?
Right. So I agree.
You'd think they would still get a decent laugh, but yeah, interesting that apparently. The fans went to see it this past week, opening weekend anyway.
Maybe saw the trailer too.
Saw the trailer,
times.
Yeah, enough that they were like, okay, I remember that one.
Yeah.
A little chuckle, but that's it.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Let's speak about the after credit scene. I feel like
it's over. It's, go home.
Yeah. Do you want to hear something really embarrassing? I didn't know that was Ferris Bueller the first time I watched it.
Oh, no way.
It didn't even click in my brain.
It's too bad.
That was Ferris Bueller.
Oh.
It did the second time. I got it like,
okay.
Not even because somebody was like, oh, it's Ferris Bueller when I saw it the second time.
Yeah.
Like, we didn't talk about it. For whatever reason, it just didn't connect it with Ferris Bueller, even though it's the same, you know?
It's, like, I mean, it's
the bathrobe, the hallway.
And the lines are, I mean, like,
yeah,
you're
it's
still here,
the same.
It's over, go home.
Yeah.
That's too bad. But did you like appreciate it that much more the second time when you put
it
together?
Yeah, but I really liked it. Without
that,
recognizing
that
it was a parody of Ferris Bueller.
And then when he talks about Cable and all that.
Yeah, I quite enjoyed. Well, I liked their riff off of like a Marvel stinger. You know,
yes,
like
exactly.
You know, would you expect Sam Jackson to show up with the trench coat? Like, no. You know, like I tell you, we're gonna have Cable. That's there you go.
That's the best I got.
Which I was really excited about because I like Cable.
Right.
That's
right.
I love that character. So
when he said something about Sam Jackson, I was like, does this mean Sam Jackson's about to walk out now?
I kind of didn't expect that. There was a weird part of me that was like, maybe Sam Jackson's going to walk through the door.
But I was like,
just be Sam Jackson. Well, Sam Jackson probably do it for free.
Yeah,
like, yeah, that sounds fun, whatever. I did like all that. What do you think about Cable being in the next movie? How do you feel about
that? I don't really have any connection to the character. So, like, I'm like, that's cool. Like, I don't really care. Not in a bad way. Not like I don't care. Like I don't care about the character. Just like it doesn't faze me one way or the other.
Right. Because we already talked about how much you love the X-Men. So
right. Yeah. Exactly. I'm not a huge X-Men fan. So like I'm like okay, cool. Yeah. Like I'm as excited for that as I am for any other X-Men related character
to show up. Yeah. I like Cable a lot.
Yeah.
So
it's kind of equal opportunity for me. So
his X-Men history is so bonkers.
Yeah.
That it's crazy because he's the son of Scott and Jean Grey, but not Jean Grey, Madeline Pryor, who is the clone of Jean Grey.
Right.
And he has a weird virus, so they send him into the future, hoping that it will be cured in the future, but it's not. It's only kind of put into weird stasis, which is why he has a weird eye and a metal arm and all that stuff. And so his real name's also not Cable. So
he watches a lot of cable TV.
Yeah, I'm sure that's it, because that probably still exists in the future.
Probably.
You know,
yeah.
Based on how many people still have cable today.
Correct.
Yeah. So, right. So, all right.
Yeah, no, but that's cool. And then, you know, it ended the perfect way.
It did.
Chica-chica.
Yeah, actually, that chica-chica has been in my head since seeing the movie, just like on repeat.
Oh, man.
Chica-chica. Oh, one thing I wanted to talk about. Do you think that we're going to see more superhero masks with emotive eyes now? With
that,
the CG emotive.
Yeah, that was
eyes.
Cool. That was you know, different for than pretty much anything we've seen.
I've never seen a mask with white eyes move before.
Yeah, I can't think of any others.
Yeah.
I like that. Yeah, I would venture that's going to happen more.
Yeah.
I would guess it's going to happen more because it's less It's so, like, when the first Spider-Man movie came out, the first Spider-Man movie, right? And even before that, the idea was they would take off the mask every chance they get so you can see their faces, right? Iron Man did it too. Every chance he gets, take off the mask so you can see his face. Partly so they can emote, but also partly because, like, oh, we paid good money for Robert Downey Jr. and we're going to see his face. But I feel like that has become, they did that because they thought it was too cheesy to have the mask on the whole time, partly too. And I feel like that has become cheesy in itself, of having them take off the mask every two seconds.
I agree.
So I feel like this might be a good, you know, way to, like, middle ground. Like, we'll get our emotion on the face and still have them be in mask like they're supposed to be, quote unquote supposed to be.
Right.
So, yeah, I think it will happen more.
Well, I give props to Ryan Reynolds a lot, even to keeping that mask on most of the time.
And doing the flashbacks made it so that he was without his mask for a good chunk of the movie still, too.
Yes, I agree. Yeah. And he... You didn't feel like you missed his face or anything like that when he wore it, because you saw so much of it in those flashbacks. Very good. Very good.
Cool. Hey, listen, before we go.
Yeah.
I would like to read an email.
Oh, that we've received.
Okay. We got some feedback on our Superman Returns episode. This comes from Scott. Scott says, thank you so much for the great podcast about Superman Returns. I love this movie so much, and it was refreshing to hear someone talk about it in a positive light for a change. I first saw it in the theater with my dad and was not expecting the John Williams / Donner opener. Seriously brought tears to my eyes. And then he says, I'm a little behind your podcast, so I don't know. Have you done a podcast on the Kirk Allen serials? I've heard you mentioned just about everything Superman except those. We have not done one on the Kirk Allen serials. Have you seen the Kirk Allen serials, Tim? You've seen it. Okay, good. I have two. I enjoy them very much for what they are. It's you know, not quite my Superman, but it's very close. Like, George Reed's my first Superman, and I really, really enjoyed that. Kirk Allen is very close to that, and only came really a few years before that.
Right.
But, I enjoy the Kirk Allen a lot. I don't have a whole lot to say. I mean, I guess I do have a lot to say about it if I really wanted to stop and think about it for a while.
If I went back, I haven't seen them in a while, but I went back and watched them, sure.
Yeah.
But I tend not... Serials from that time are tough to talk about, because if you don't love serials from the 40s, or if you're gluten free or something like that, and you don't, and, you know,
oh,
and
God. So bad. Oh my God,
you laughed. I'm off the hook.
Oh my God, dad jokes are us.
But if you don't love the world of the serial, that, and you kind of just take them for what they are, you know, cheesy Saturday morning, you know, they're...
Who puts cheese in cereal?
This is Liz Lemon. Yeah. Working on my night cheese. Yeah. So if you have to just to really take them for what they are, they're very basic, you know, does a nice job for what they are, you know what I mean? It's just, so I don't have much to say on them apart. Okay. They're certainly products of their time, but there's not a lot to dissect inside the serial.
Okay, I would give them a little more credit than that. I think they're very enjoyable stories. They gave us Noel Neal as Lois Lane for the first time. They gave us the first live-action interpretation of Superman ever.
Right.
They gave us the first, you know, we saw Krypton being destroyed, live-action and all this stuff. We saw the origin story.
Right. But my point is, like, it's all one liners, what you just said. You know what I mean? Like,
okay.
You're not really talking about the pathos of anything.
No. Well, the storytelling style is one thing, but you could say the same thing for Golden Age comics or for the radio's show or that kind of stuff too. I mean, in that sense that it's they're products of their time. I totally agree with that, but I enjoy them for what they are.
Exactly. You take them as the product of what they are.
You have to take them out.
But
yes.
We will also not sit here and talk for half an hour about Action Comics number one.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Going deeper into something else. That's just what I mean about the serials.
Yeah.
They're good fun, but they're not meant to be dissected.
It's hard to do that with everything that's come since. It's hard to dissect them. I agree with that. Yeah. It's the same level.
Yeah.
But I do enjoy them. So I'm glad. Scott, thank you for writing in. And I'm glad you enjoy them, too. If you want to hear your emails around the podcast, BeerWithGeeks, whether that's at Gmail or on Twitter or on Facebook or any of the places that you can find podcasts and talk to us on social media, iTunes, Overcast, Satchel Player, any of the fun places, either our podcasts, we are there and we are ready to be heard. So thank you guys very much for listening once again. We'll be back soon with another episode, but until then,
cheers.